Roman is the biggest bad guy character in professional wrestling.
Rev, when's the last time you got laid?
French Toast is the exchange student that you have like a 3-week affair with.
Hey, we can see that you don't have pants on.
Can we tell the truth about Dusty sooner or later?
Bro, like, less people wanted that than are currently watching our show.
And you know Vince, and you still think, are these true? It's like...
Welcome to the Mark It Down Podcast.
Thank you, Prince Nana. We are at the Mark It Down Podcast, specifically the Gym Packed Zone. Welcome, everybody. It is Thursday night. You know what that means. It's time to cover TNA Wrestling, this week's episode of Impact. I've missed you guys. It's been a minute. I haven't covered TNA in a couple of weeks. I'm sorry. Between just some medical madness and just overall exhaustion, I haven't been as committed to the Gym Pack Zone as I should be, and I apologize, guys. I'm coming up with something to make it up to you guys really soon. We'll talk about it possibly at the end of the episode, but let's get to it. I'm a little lost. It's been a minute. The whole world has changed, apparently, since I've been gone, but we started with some chaos. We started with some mayhem. We started with the 8-4-1 match. If you're not familiar with the 8-4-1 match, don't take it personally. We haven't seen too much of it, but it is definitely becoming a TNA mainstay. I am loving this match type. This is, I think, the second time we've seen it. Maybe third, but I'm going to stick with second, where this starts out as an 8-man tag. Two teams randomly selected, randomly sided, two quads taking on each other. Whatever team beats the other team, that match then turns into a fatal four-way. And then the winner of that match goes on, in this instance, for the knockouts, to challenge for the knockouts championship against Jordan Grace at the upcoming event, Rebellion. So the teams were Rosemary, Zaya Brookside, Danny Luna, and was supposed to be Ash by Elegance against Havoc, Masha Slamovich, Jody Threat, and Alicia Edwards. Now, as you can see, you have some teams going against each other here as the Knockouts Tag Team Champions, Jody Threat and Danny Luna, were on opposite sides, as well as the former champions, The Decay, Rosemary, and Havoc being on opposite sides. So now, as I said, and I'm sure you read here, it was supposed to be Ash by Elegance who was on one team, but she just, as her man said, as her corner man said, so I'm sure very well, I couldn't really tell because, man, did TNA have some bad audio issues tonight. I don't know whose fault that was. It's never usually this bad. It's never usually this grainy and this staticky, but they had some trouble tonight. But regardless, he explained that Ash had just had a surgery done and her doctor made it clear her face could not be touched. So they found a suitable replacement in a shocking surprise as Steph DeLander makes her return to the Impact Zone and returns to TNA for this matchup. I am a huge Steph DeLander fan. I'm a huge Matt Cardona fan. I love their work on the indies. I've had the pleasure of being harassed by Steph on at many a House of Glory show. She understands her role very well. She understands her character very well. And it was a pleasure to see her back in TNA tonight. As the action got going, eventually it was, and I'm sorry, it's hard to recap because this match wasn't messy, but so much happened, so many moving parts here. But eventually one team was eliminated, and that was the team of Havoc, Masha Slamovich, Jody Threat, and Alicia Edwards. And that was after Zaya Brookside rolled up Masha for the 1-2-3. I believe it was Masha. I don't think it was Danny Luna who did it, but it could have been. I don't know. Let me just double check real quick. I'm sorry, guys. I was right on. I shouldn't have trusted my gut in the beginning. I should have trusted it second. Danny Luna was the person who rolled up Masha Slamovich getting the 1-2-3, but after a vicious beatdown following the bell, because the Fatal 4-Way became a no DQ match, as all Fatal 4-Ways should be, technically, Masha just starts to beat down Dani Luna and Xia Brookside. That Fatal 4-Way continues, goes on for a little bit, until Xia is knocked out on the outside, and Dani, who had been taken out by Masha, and the final two are Steph DeLander, SDL, taking on Rosemary. As Rosemary seemingly has the upper hand on Steph DeLander, out of nowhere, Matt Cardona rushes in, hits a radio silence onto Rosemary, allowing Steph to hit the TKO and get the 1-2-3 as she advances to Rebellion to take on Jordynne Grace for the Knockouts Championship. It would not be a Matt Cardona segment. It would not be a Steph DeLander segment if it wasn't very overbooked and if it wasn't very chaotic. So it's fun to see that level of energy brought into the Impact Zone once again. Eric, if you were a good producer, you would know this is the Jimpact Zone, and you would know this is our weekly TNA live recap. Moving on, we had a Steve Macklin backstage segment going over what had happened supposedly last week and setting up for this week, as Macklin has his little powwow with his seemingly good buds, the Rascals, but nuh-uh, no more. As that trio is no more, and the Rascals don't want to put up with Macklin anymore, and they say all they need is each other. They don't need Macklin. Macklin storms off and it bumps into Chris Sabin. After going back and forth, they decide they're going to bring this to Santino, and they are going to have a match, and that would be our main event for tonight. We then go to another backstage segment as the ABC, Ace Austin and Chris Bay, are going on about, and again, sorry guys, I've missed this, so I'm kind of learning about this as I'm watching it, their issues with Frankie Kazarian. Frankie Kazarian, who apparently disrespected Chris Bay, setting up for Ace Austin to step up to him and take him on. Weirdly, though, there seemed to be some tension between Austin and Bay, as Ace was commenting on Bay having been in a match that didn't have anything to do with their tag team. It was a singles match setting up for something else, and Austin sounding like a little upset that Bay's attention isn't solely on the tag team titles. I've made it clear, guys, it's a weird position for me to be in. I love Austin. I love Bay. And I think both men could have very, very, very successful singles careers in TNA. So much so, I think TNA agrees, as they just re-signed Ace Austin to a new contract. He will stick with TNA for the foreseeable future. He put out a nice message talking about his goals and why he stuck with TNA, mentioned having been a former tag team champion, a former X Division champion, and there's one belt that is missing from his trophy case, and he wants it. He wants to complete the collection before moving on. So very interested to see how soon that'll be, but I don't want this tag team to break up. I don't want it. I love ABC. I think they are such a fun tag team, such an exciting team. I've had the pleasure of seeing them live multiple times across companies, and I think they just bring so much to the tag team division of whatever locker room they're in. But you can't have everything, unfortunately. But Chris Bay tried to argue that he could, because he asked Austin, does he think that he's not talented enough to do both, to focus on both? And Ace assured him it has nothing to do with talent, but they just need to focus on those tag titles. Bay then leaves, saying that while Austin stepped up to Frankie Kazarian, now it's his turn to do the same. We then move on to what was initially an in-ring promo, where GYV, the Grizzled Young Veterans, are complaining about Cody Deaner costing them their match last week. And this brings Deaner out, who said that Santino gave him the chance to pick his opponent today of the two members of GYV. He then asks the crowd, who should he face of the two? And of course, Philly, being a vicious, vicious town, as Tom Hannafin made it clear, They said both. So this turned into a handicap match. Very weird turn of events, but sure. This was a kind of a one-sided thing. I mean, Diener did his best, but really, once Drake used the scarf to sort of choke out Diener, he ate the double code breaker, and they got the 1-2-3. I know Diener has transformed a little bit since the end of the design. I don't know what this new character is really supposed to be. He's a face. Sure. I like Diener, so I don't mind cheering him, but I don't know what they're doing here for him other than, I guess, just weekly babyface spot where he gets the crowd behind him. Time will tell. I'm rooting for him, but not a lot of high hopes with what this is as it is. We then go backstage as Nick Nemeth is being interviewed by Mean Gia Miller, hardest working woman in TNA. They talk about Nemeth getting ready to face Moose at Rebellion. He talked about having to overcome the system when he's interrupted by Alex Shelley. Shelley, who blamed Kushida for throwing in the towel and costing him the title in their rematch. We didn't really get into it before, but there was a quick sit-down segment where Shelley, Saban, and Kushida were sitting down and talking about, you know, being on the same page. And Shelley is not thrilled with Saban being a solo act right now, it seems. And maybe he wants to follow suit, which led him to confronting Nemeth. Nemeth saying when he beats Moose for the title, he's been looking so forward to getting in the ring with Shelley that he would love to defend the title against Shelley after he wins it. Alex says, why wait? Let's just do this. So next week, we will get our generational matchup of Nick Nemeth taking on Alex Shelley. Very much looking forward to that. Very, I know the Motor City Machine Guns contract status is very up in the air right now. I guess they just wanted to get as many of these matches out of the way before they leave, if they are in fact leaving. But going to be a fun impact next week for TNA. Moving on, we then had Josh Alexander out in the ring. Josh, who's still very ready for some revenge against Alex Hammerstone. He wants revenge after Hammerstone cheated to beat him in their rematch. Now that Hammerstone is a part of the TNA locker room and is officially on the roster, he spoke to Santino, Josh Alexander being the person who spoke to Santino, saying he wanted a match, he wanted Hammerstone, and Santino gave him an open contract for any match that he could have tonight. As he's calling out Hammerstone, he is instead confronted by Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. If you're not too familiar with Tracy Williams, go check him out. Respected member of the indie community, and definitely, I believe, spent some time in Ring of Honor. Williams said Hammerstone might not be here, but he's one of the best wrestlers in the world, and he wants to face Josh Alexander right now. This was a good match. This was a surprising match, or should I say an unexpected matchup. Both of these men really delivered. Josh, they talked about it on commentary. Josh is sort of becoming the measuring stick for people who want to come into TNA and sort of prove themselves. We've seen Josh versus Will Ospreay, Hammerstone, before Hammerstone signed with the company. And now Williams. Lots of guys trying to either make a name through TNA or trying to show that TNA might just be a stopping ground for them, for some of them. And Josh Alexander is here to defend the name of the company and to be, as Matthew Raywalt said, the face of the company. This was a great match. The crowd was super into it. By the end of it, the crowd was chanting both these guys. This was a lot of fun. One of the better matches in TNA over this year and could have been a pay-per-view match, quite frankly. Go check it out. Josh Alexander picking up the win with the C4 spike. After the match, both men, I'm so sorry, guys. Both men celebrating their matchup before they get jumped by Hammerstone. Hammerstone throwing Alexander outside and elbowing Williams in the head. He then takes Josh's headgear that he has had since their rematch back at the pay-per-view and puts it on Williams and then puts Williams in a torture rack. I think this is probably the highlight of the night. This was probably one of the better segments of the night, from bell to bell, promo to after-match segment. Just great stuff, great wrestling, great wrestling, good stuff. Go check it out if you're going to check out anything from this event. We then had our X Division champion, Mustafa Ali, getting himself into a little bit of trouble, confronting Santino Marella about Jake something winning the number one contender spot for the X Division championship. Mustafa Ali, who has been deservedly put on the cover of the PWI magazine. Big accomplishment for Mustafa. Very happy for him. Good shout out for TNA too, because he is holding the X Division championship on that cover. Congratulations, Mustafa. But he says Jake something shouldn't be the number one contender for the X Division championship. He just doesn't fit what the X Division is. But as Santino tells him, there is no fit for the X Division. You could be any size. You could be from anywhere. You could be anybody and you could fit in the X Division. Mustafa making a very funny bit about how we don't even know who Jake is. What is he hiding with a name like something? Names are important. And then Santino says, well, yeah, I mean, what if I put you against a man named Rhino? And Mustafa says, that's such a stupid name. What a stupid name, Rhino. And unfortunately for him, the man beast was right behind him, took it personally, and demanded a match against Mustafa next week. Ali tried getting out of it, saying he can't defend the title because he's already supposed to defend it against Jake something. And Rhino said, this is going to be an old school rules match. No title on the line, and that is booked for next week. Good stuff. I'm sure Mustafa is going to make quick work of Rhino, but it's always good to get a win over a former world champion. So good for Ali, who's going to definitely be padding his resume next week. We then move on to Eddie Edwards taking on Speedball Mike Bailey. Again, another great match, another very strong match. I'm hesitant to get too excited just because as much as I love Speedball and as much as I'm actually really enjoying the system, I don't care about Speedball Mountain, as Speedball is teaming up with Trent Seven and they are going to get a shot at the tag team titles of Brian Myers and Eddie Edwards. I want Speedball to just do something else. I don't need him to be a tag team with Trent Seven. Nothing against Trent. I want bigger and better for Speedball. But regardless, this was a fun match. Eddie Edwards can still bring it no matter what, no matter the opponent. This was a nice in-between of storytelling and in-ring work, which shouldn't surprise anybody. The finish coming after Bailey misses the Ultima Weapon, thanks to a distraction from Alicia, and that leads directly into a very smooth Boston Knee Party from Eddie Edwards. Great back and forth between two guys. I know I was very much praising the Josh Alexander and Tracy Williams match as the match to watch this week. This is a close second as far as I'm concerned. Not that the main event wasn't good, but this was just a fun, quick-paced match. We then move on to a PCO something. What I predicted well over a month ago, I think at this point, is coming true. PCO ranting, raving, muttering, Monsters Ball and Khan. I had a feeling this is where we were going. This is definitely PCO's match here in TNA. This is his signature match now in TNA, so I get it. But I just feel like this is bigger than Khan. But I hope I could be proven wrong, and I do hope that Khan is able to step up to the plate and step up to the challenge. And we shall see. We then go to a backstage segment with Frankie Kazarian. as Frankie is quoting the Bible and he's talking about Eric Young, but he is interrupted by Chris Bay, who is looking for a fight, and we will get that match next week. So let's see. After that, we then had an in-ring segment, a long one, where AJ Francis, Top Dolla, formerly Top Dolla, and Rich Swann, his new partner in wrestling, talk about the recent heel turn of Rich Swann as he betrayed Joe Hendry and is now aligned with AJ Francis. I'm for this in theory. I am for this team in theory. Rich Swann explaining how, yes, he is a former world champion, a former TNA world champion. He was really a former Impact world champion, but I guess former TNA world champion. But quite frankly, the last few months, he's just been getting his ass kicked. And every week he goes backstage and the only person who was there for him was AJ Francis. I don't mind Rich having a turn. I don't mind Rich changing certain things up because, quite frankly, he did need a refresher. But I don't know that this new character is going to work for him. I'm willing to give it a chance. I want to root for him. And quite frankly, I do want to root for AJ Francis. I think AJ is looking great now here in TNA. He is really doing his best to revamp himself, rejuvenate himself, and make himself feel very different than the character he was in WWE that, quite frankly, got clowned on. So let's give it some time. I'm going to do my best to give them a fair chance. And who knows? I do know that TNA is in desperate need of tag teams right now. So maybe these two are going to inject something unique to the TNA tag team division. We then had a sit-down interview where Tom Hannifin interviewed Laredo Kid. Laredo Kid talking about his career, talking about starting in 2003 and looking to make a name for himself. He signed with AAA back then, and if it wasn't for a injury that he sustained, an almost career-ending injury that he sustained in a match against El Hijo del Vikingo last year, he would have had a real shot at the Digital Media Championship here in TNA. I'm a big fan of Laredo Kid. I know that he got sidelined for a little bit last year, and I'm glad that he's back on his feet. I think he is a very talented luchador, and I think he is something that is a fresh face or a fresh mask in TNA. So the more Laredo Kid, the better. And I do think it's a good idea for these sit-down interviews for guys who might not necessarily be the best promo, but in a safe, protected interview situation, we could learn a lot more about them and get more personally invested in them. So good job by Hannifin for helping to bring Laredo out of his shell and to help us get more acquainted with him. We then move on to our main event as Steve Maclin took on Chris Sabin. Fun matchup. I got to say, Maclin really does know how to work with smaller guys. I think Maclin is one of the more underappreciated talents in TNA. He typically puts on banger after banger after banger. And I know a lot of the time his opponents are the ones who get the credit, but it takes two to tango. And quite frankly, I think we've seen enough of Maclin to know that this guy delivers. And when you have a partner like Chris Sabin, you're going to get a great main event. These guys went back and forth for a while, into the ring, out of the ring, just wailing on each other. Lots of two counts, lots of rolls, roll-ups, a lot of counters, good stuff. The ending coming after a count-out is teased, but Maclin is able to get in at 9 and then hit a satellite DDT for 2. Maclin then turned a jackknife pin into a KIA and won it. It was a great spot as he had tried hitting the KIA. Sabin was able to counter it for the 2 for it with a very nice bridge. And then finally, Maclin was just able to hit it. These guys are mainstays here in TNA. Sabin, I don't know what his future holds. I talked about it a little bit earlier when I was talking about Shelley. I don't know if he's long for the TNA world, but as a former world champion, this is a big win for Steve Maclin, a former champion in his own right. But Maclin is just a guy who has managed to raise his stock, raise his value. so much. And while I don't want to see him leave, it's becoming harder and harder to deny any of the companies, like, obvious should be interest in this man. This is a main eventer in TNA. He could be a main eventer wherever he goes. He's got a rough, rugged style that I think a lot of main events are missing lately. So I will forever be scarred by his main event title defense against PCO. No thank you. But more stuff like this, and Steve Maclin is a hot, hot commodity. But guys, that was it. That was this week's TNA. That was this week's Impact. I enjoyed it. I'm glad to be getting my feet wet with TNA again. Again, I'm sorry I missed you guys over these last few weeks. I promise I will be around more consistently moving forward. And to reward, we are going to be doing, I already announced yesterday during our AEW live recap that we would be doing a giveaway for WrestleMania for night one and for night two. But I will also be doing a giveaway here in the Gym Packed Zone with some TNA autographs. We will talk about that moving forward. Check it out on social media, which, by the way, in general, you should just check out. We're posting really funny stuff on Instagram, on TikTok. We are on X. We are on Facebook. And if you don't want to just enjoy a good meme, of course, check us out here every week, every day pretty much of the week. We are covering Raw. We are covering Dynamite. We are covering TNA Impact. We are covering SmackDown now. It's awesome. And, of course, next week being WrestleMania, most of us here at the pod will be there at WrestleMania. So if you see us, come say hi. We're going to be doing some fun stuff, and we're going to be around pretty much all weekend checking out Mania, Ring of Honor, House of Glory. We'll be at Raw. We'll be maybe at SmackDown in the Hall of Fame. I don't know, but we will be all over. So guys, if you love us, hit subscribe, hit like. We appreciate it. It makes us all feel warm and fuzzy. But I'm James Giusanti. This is the Gym Pack Zone. This is Mark It Down. And please remember, watch wrestling. And of course, watch TNA. Have a good one, guys.